I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The halls are decked. You've risked life and limb to put up the Christmas lights. Now all you need is a bowl of popcorn and a holiday film to fill you with Christmas cheer. Well, you are in luck. Last week, members of the cast of The Perfect Holiday, a family film with an African-American take, joined me to talk about the film. It opens today. NPR's Performance Studio 4A was packed with a live studio audience that came to see Queen Latifah, also known as Dana Owens, Gabrielle Union, Morris Chestnut, and Faison Love. Queen Latifah is a busy woman. We know because we talked with her back in September when she was promoting her latest CD, Travelin' Light. The Queen is a cover girl model. She has a clothing line, and she's just completed the movie musical Hairspray. On top of that, the Queen's production company, Flavor Unit Entertainment, is one of the producers of the film, The Perfect Holiday. And with so many balls in the air, we wanted to know why she was attracted to this project.
Well, we kick around a lot of ideas of things that we like to produce as film projects. And my partner, Sha Kim, and the director of the film, Lance, were trying to think of any of a Christmas movie with an African American cast, and could not think of one. And so we decided we needed to make one. So Lance came in with a really cool script, and we went out and got the financing to make it happen. We're very blessed to assemble this wonderful cast, and made it happen. So we've been fortunate. I mean, you had This Christmas come out, so you got two. You got two this year, which would be great. Ours is completely different, but it's still nice to have a couple to choose from.
In the movie, you play a very down-to-earth Christmas angel. You're the narrator of the film, and you have a Grinch-like counterpart who's played by Terrence Howard. Let's listen to a clip.
There it is. Oh, the first snowflake of the season.
The technical definition of a snowflake is ice crystal surrounding a particle of dirt.
It's buttery, supple, but with a clean finish. Just like Christmas is supposed to taste.
So technically, you are eating dirt.
That's kind of a nice, testy exchange, which sets the tone. Gabrielle Union is a divorced single mom of three, and she's kind of having a tough time in her life when Morris Chestnut comes into her life, and we'll let them tell you just how. But I read that you wanted to make a holiday film that kind of deals squarely with divorce and Christmas and how that feels. Why?
Well, I think it's an honest reflection of what America is like. And I think one of the best things about this film is showing how these kids are dealing with the effects of their parents splitting up and the power struggles that exist, the loyalties that you want to keep towards your parents. Every kid, including myself, being from a sort of broken home, if you will, always has this hope that their parents will get back together. But as reality comes along and time passes, you realize that your parents are going to start to date other people. And I know for me, my brother was like identical to the character of John John. Any guy that came around my mother was like, he got the evil eye, he got an attitude. It was like, you ain't my daddy, you know, kind of thing. And if he could have sabotaged it all, he would have. But eventually, you know, he had to kind of learn that my mom needed love too, and so did daddy. And it was cool after a while. But I think it was important that these kids that we sort of get to see what happens when kids go through these things.
Especially at the holiday time where emphasis is so much on family.
Absolutely.
And that kind of that perfect family. Gabrielle, I mentioned that you play a single mom of three. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, I remember when Queen and Shakim called, I was on the beach in Miami, hanging out at the pool. We finally got a script because I've been bugging them for, you know, when are we going to work together, when are we going to work together? Like, we got it. Single mother with three kids. Wrong.
Wait, hot single mother with three kids.
I was like, you know, in Hollywood, you get some kids, next thing you know, you're off the Maxim Hot 100 list, you know, and you got osteoporosis the next week. So I was a little nervous. And then, you know, Shakim was like, just read the script. And I read it and I was like, I don't think this perspective has been told. And especially, you know, we as women, we get conditioned that, you know, once you get a family, everything is about your family. And, you know, any hope, dream, aspiration, passion that you may have had all has to go into your kid. But what ends up happening is women, we don't leave anything for ourselves. And I think that's, you know, what I was kind of drawn to with the character of Nancy. And the fact that she says, all I want for Christmas is a compliment. I think we sort of forget how far kind words can really go.
And Morris, how do you come into her life?
Well, her daughter actually overhears her saying all she wants is a compliment. And I'm playing a department store part-time Santa. And they're in a line for
her daughter. How come I never met a Santa like you? But I digress.
So her daughter sits on my lap and asks her what she wants for Christmas. And she says, you know, I just want a nice man to give my mother a compliment. And then I said, well, who's your mother? And she points to this, you know. And that's when the comedy ensues.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And eventually you do meet, and you meet kind of cute. So let's play that clip.
So, yeah. So, you know, I was, I'm from out of town. I was just walking by. I had a little craving for some petite fruit jelly beans, you know, so I just came on in and I sell office supplies and it gets kind of boring, you know. What about you?
I'm from town, single mother with three kids, and I just bought a stapler.
Well, that's good, that's good. Well, so you ever need anything?
I'm sure I'll need whatever you have by way of office supplies.
Well, I guess, you know, paper clips, pens.
Pens. So many pens. You know, because I'll be, oh my God, I need a pen.
You need some pens.
I need a pen, and I don't have a pen, but you have pens.
Then I'm your guy.
Supply loving.
Supplies. I think it is fair to call the two of you kind of the king and queen of black romantic comedy. You've been love interests in several films together. There's the brothers breaking all the rooms. So, Morris, I'm going to ask you, yes. What makes Gabrielle so believable as your heart's desire over and over again?
Well, let me just say this. You know, in terms of working with Gabrielle, we have worked together several times before, but aside from her obvious good looks and she's very talented, but she's a good person. And, you know, when you're working on a film set, you're working 12 and 14-hour days, you want to be around good people that you really just enjoy being around and you trust. And that is Gabrielle. You know, you come to set and, you know, she smiles and she's witty and she's smart. So I think that's why our chemistry is so strong.
Okay. And Gabrielle, what about Mr. Chestnut? What is it about him that makes him... that keeps the casting folks keep going to him as the leading man?
You know, I take it back to this one scene where he, maybe some of you can, you know, testify, in the Best Man, where he enters. I think it's like the first time you see him. And I forget what the song is, but it's in my brain. And he has that trench coat on and kind of comes back and it's just the entrance and it's the... I remember I was on a date and I dropped my date's hand and I believe I said, excuse me, date. And I think it's that reaction that people have. I had it. I think everyone I know has had it. We, you know, just traveling around with him, everyone has it. I think it's that thing.
I mean, forgive me, but there are a lot of fine men in Hollywood. So what is it about
Morris
Chestnut?
Because he doesn't know he's fine. And I think the day he kind of figures it out, I don't know what he's going to be like, but the guy that I see all the time is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He's mannerable. He treats everyone the exact same. Not at all. He's just extremely humble and hardworking, and there's no diva at all. You know, I think what gets in the way of a lot of chemistry is, you know, a man not being a gentleman. Talking about, like, I want to come rehearse in my room, and you're like, no. But he's just a gentleman, and he treats everyone with so much respect that it allows for chemistry to happen.
Yeah, that's Faison. Faison, the one right there. You want to rehearse in my room? Come in my trailer. Let's get these lines down.
I'll bring Faison on in a minute. But Gabrielle, I'm sorry. You have had some fine leading men in your day. Idris Elba, Will Smith, LL Cool J. So, you know, just between you, me, and all these people up in here, who's the best kisser?
Well, you know, all of them are married, and I know their wives all listen to NPR. So they're all, you know, well, my husband, of course, is. But they're all very respectful. All the men you just named are very respectful. And, you know, and not just because he's sitting here. But actually, the kiss that had the most magic didn't actually end up in the movie.
Right.
The
right.
The most magical kiss that happened during A Perfect Holiday was
Gabrielle and Faison.
Gabrielle, me and Faison.
Are we breaking this now, though? I thought we were going to...
We might as well just...
Tell it.
Are we going to break this here? Or?
I think we owe it to the people of NPR.
Yeah.
Well, you want to tell it how it happened?
Yeah,
I mean,
let's hear it.
Well, magic. I
mean, well, basically, when you work together, you're shooting a movie, you know. And
long hours,
and, you know, you go out, you want to have a good time. There was an incident, and Faison tells it best, to where he and Gabrielle encountered some magic together off the set.
Cue Faison.
Well, I guess you suggest let's go to a club or something like that?
Yeah, to, you know, run lines.
Yeah, run lines. And there was just a moment where we were kind of looking at each other, and then we just started kissing.
I'm sorry, were there witnesses?
There was a whole club where there were witnesses. Some have varying, you know, interpretations. Some people saw it a little differently. Maybe some people could have seen Faison say, "Gab, come here, I got something to tell you." And I said, "Yeah? Come, it's the music's so loud. Come closer, closer." And I'm, "Yeah? Yeah?" And then some might have seen him maybe grab the back of my head and just... you know, lay one on me, a la Snoopy and Lucy.
For 10 minutes.
Peanuts. But
what I saw was very slow and very...
And what did security see when they came? Just
they saw a criminal. And, you know.
Oh, it sounds very romantic. If you're just joining us, we're talking with the cast members of The Perfect Holiday, Queen Latifah, Gabrielle Union, Morris Chestnut, and Faison Love, before a live studio audience. Now, Faison, you play Jamal, the loyal best friend and right-hand man, or should I say elf, to Morris Chestnut's Santa. Let's listen to a scene where you are trying to test Santa's ethical code.
Now, your question.
Got it.
Say a little snot-nosed kid like the one, you know, what if he came to you? You know, Santa, I stole an Escalade. I need you to get me some rims, some spinning rims. Does that betray the whole Santa trust thing?
Okay, but... Now, why would a child come up to me and say he stole an Escalade? I don't...
Because you work in a mall, dog. Part-time!
That's why you ain't Santa.
So, Faison, I have to say, yeah, that's right. You're no bit player here. You've made nearly 40 film and television appearances. Mm-hmm. So let's play inside the actor's studio. What was your motivation for your role as an elf?
With this? Well, when I brought the story to Queen.
yes, there was no elf. There wasn't no elf.
There wasn't no elf. And I just was like, we need something funny here. We need, I don't know. I'm just, you know, it was just fresh. I never played an elf. I never, you know, Gabriel Union, you know, this cast, La, I always want to work with La. So it's that. I don't have no motivation behind what I do.
Okay.
If it's crazy, I'm going to do it.
Well, I don't want to give everything away, but you do get some play in this film. But I would like to ask you if you'd ever like to be the romantic lead. Would you like to be Santa?
I don't know. Of course. I mean, I think I am romantic lead. I think I do all right. She's like, that don't answer my question.
It seems to me we've broken a lot of barriers in Hollywood over the years, and you know, you might disagree with that, and if you do, I'd love to hear more about it. But it still seems, and you all are obviously lovely people, but it does seem to me that the romantic leads still have to maintain, there's a certain look, and I just wonder if there's a point at which another barrier gets broken where people can be the object of our heart's
desire. Of course, I mean, but I look at it as like, what's my piece to this puzzle? So if there's a project that I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Gab and I do another film where, you know, she falls for me and I don't want anything to do with her or something like that. it makes sense. I get it. You know, she calls me 3 o'clock in the morning. What time did you come in? That kind of thing. I get it. So it just depends on what the project is. And anybody on this crew, I'll do a film for free for any, you know, this is the kind of crew we got right here.
And I should mention that in addition to the four of you who are kind enough to join us here, there are several other heavyweights in the film. There's Charlie Murphy, who plays Nancy's ex-husband, hip-hop producer Jay Jizzy, comic Cat Williams, Jill Marie Jones, who a lot of people know from the TV series Girlfriends. With all of these African-American stars on the upswing, you know, Morris, is there a black pack in Hollywood? Do you seek each other out to work with? Do you...
Well, you know, I think, especially in particular with this particular film, we, you know, it made it easier because we didn't really have that much time for pre-production. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they were asking us who we would like to work with, you know, like Gabrielle's very good friends with Rachel and Jill.
And Jill.
You know, and it actually was the first time Faison and I had actually worked together, but we worked it out. We worked it out.
Rachel, but being Rachel True, who's Rachel one of your Rachel girls, True. Who plays one of Gabrielle's girls, and her
exactly.
steadfast
but
support.
It really helps for the chemistry. You know, when you're familiar with someone, and you, like I said, you trust someone that you like to work with.
It just seems that the parts, it seems to be improving. There seem to be more work. There's more work for people than there has been in the past. But it seems like a lot of you going up for the same roles. Is it hard to maintain friendships?
No, I think you know, this month, I don't know if you've seen it on the cover of Essence magazine. It's me, Sanaa, and Nia. And the whole reason why they came to us is because we are friends. And people, like, when we're out, they're always like, how are you guys friends? But no, it's like, you know, I came to the realization a long time ago that if you want Sanaa, you don't want me.
Sanaa Lathan.
If you want Nia Long, you don't want me. And it all works out. And the way I like to say it's like, if, you know, if we're all going for the same part, of course I want it. You know, we're all competitive people. But if I don't get it, I want somebody, you know, I can ask for a loan. You know, you know, I want to know where the money went. But no, and like when you say the Black Pack, I think the Black Hollywood community is kind of like a Black Pack. It's small. We all know each other. So people are like, well, what was it like meeting Kat? I'm like, I met Kat years ago. You know, you meet people, at, you know, hanging out at the clubs. You meet them at different events around town because it's very smaller in the auditioning room. You know, like everyone's kind of auditioning for the same thing. You see people all the time. So, and I think, so yeah, when you get, you know, one of us who gets into a position of power, yeah, you go back to the people that you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful thing.
Just to clarify, you're talking about the cover of Essence, which featured you, Sanaa Lathan, and Nia Long,
yes,
the three divas on the cover of this month's Essence. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm joined by Gabrielle Union, Morris Chestnut, Faison Love, and Queen Latifah. Latifah is also the producer of The Perfect Holiday. It premieres today. We'll be back with the stars of The Perfect Holiday and questions from our studio audience in just a few minutes. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Last week, I talked with the cast of the new Christmas film, The Perfect Holiday. It's a holiday tale with an African-American take, and it opens today. A live and lively studio audience joined me in NPR Studio 4A to talk with four members of the all-star cast, Queen Latifah, Morris Chestnut, Gabrielle Union, and Faison Love. Going back to you, my queen, this is something I asked Regina King when she was here, and you were kind enough to mention that she has another holiday movie out called This Christmas.
Mm-hmm. On the one very hand, well, so thanks for your support on that.
But you know, on the one hand, you can make a project work like this. You're one of the producers of the film. You can get movies made with all kinds of families living all kinds of lifestyles. Gabrielle in this movie, she's living a very mainstream life. The kids are in soccer, they're in ballet. They're not, you know, everybody doesn't have to be in the hood. But these films are still presented as niche projects. They're presented as films for the whole family, but not necessarily for every family. But this is more than 20 years after an African-American television family headed by Bill Cosby absolutely dominated television. Mm-hmm. So why are these films still presented to us as Black movies? Are we ahead of where we were? Are we behind?
I don't know that I'm not going to say we're behind, nor are we ahead. I think economics always have a lot to do with it. Unfortunately, I believe that when you depend on a studio system, it's much easier to keep these films as niche films because it requires less money to make them, less money to promote them, to market them, which means the studios they get to spend less and make more. And so for us, it's really about trying to continue to push that dollar up, to push the deals up, even if the dollar amount in the front is not right, to spread it out in the back and so that everyone gets to get a piece of the pie. And for us, when we promote these films, to make sure that it's understood that this may be a Black cast, but it's not a Black film, you know. So, and I think you've been able to see that. I don't think that the public is as ignorant as or naive as some studios might want them to be. It's just like, you know, you go promote something on BET and every Black person is going to watch it. And I think that's a disrespect to African Americans. Just like you put something on Telemundo and every Latino person is supposed to go buy it. I think that has been the ignorance in terms of marketing. And, you know, us as Flavor Unit, we've always been about creating projects from beginning to end and not just, you know, creating projects to give to the public, but we have a vision of how to give it to the public and how it should be presented. And so marketing is as important to us as creating a film, as producing it.
Okay, but you have demonstrated crossover appeal for what, right. you know, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in some very high-dollar Hollywood productions like Chicago and so forth, and you've, you know, produced CDs in all kinds of genre. You recently mm-hmm. did one in big band classics and standards and things like that. So, but it just seems interesting that in the film work, that stuff that you do, why can't this family be the metaphor for all families?
They are the metaphor mm-hmm. for many families. And I think, once again, I think it's about how the public receives it. And then you guys may have different opinions mm-hmm. on this, but for me, you know, when I watch a movie, I don't necessarily, I think everybody tries to see a little bit of themselves in a movie somewhere or someone that they know. If you can't relate to a lot of these characters, then you just, you know, you might just be a different person, but you don't have to be one of them to enjoy the film. And I think that what's happening, what we're starting to see is that they're, well, for us, it's been about making films that are, that go to the sort of middle of even African Americans. Everything is not going to be about the hood and drugs and guns. And I mean, we've seen that. We grew up in that, a lot of us. So we don't need that. I mean, you don't need it for us to make it. What you need is for us to show all the different sides of our lives. And I think that's part of the reason Martin was a hit. While the Cosbys were a hit, some people couldn't relate to the Cosbys because they were like, this is a dream. This is a fantasy. But it's not to a lot of families. There are a bunch of Huxtable families out there, and we've seen that. And if anything, that's only increased. But I think it's about having the opportunity to present a lot of different sides of who we are. So, it's the same as being white. They get to show all 360 degrees of being white. You could be trailer trash, you could be a billionaire, and everything in between. You know, you could be some eccentric who doesn't want to be part of society. You could be someone who's in the clubs and at the everywhere, every day, in people's faces. And I think that's part of the thing, is for us to be able to present all the sides of who we are. Black is not just one person or one style or one thing. And so, like for me, when I go in to try to produce a movie, it's very important that I can earmark a certain amount of marketing dollars to go where I say they need to go, you know, not to just go, because people don't get it. There's still a lot of people who are entrenched in Hollywood who have this back in the days mentality, and they got the power and they got the money. So when we get in a position where we can greenlight a movie or we can influence how those dollars are spent, we have to do it. I make sure that each one of my sets looks like America. If I don't do it, I will have a white male set. And that's just how it is. People kind of go with who they know. They hire who they know, who they kind of worked with before. I make sure that they go find someone, you know, who is qualified. And so that this crowd around me that I have to live with for months at a time looks like what I want it to look like. You know, that every time I say some slang word, at least one person out there knows what the hell I'm talking about. You know what I mean? And if you didn't, then hey, somebody just learned a new word. And that's, to me, what it's about. So it's always going to be a struggle, because this is not a business that we created. We still don't dominate it, nor do we need to. But I think we need to definitely use our power as much as we can to make sure that we change that picture. Because this is just a family film, and it's unfortunate that we have to say a black cast and a black this, or it's for everyone, it's for the main. I mean, it's ridiculous after all this time, you know, but this is America.
Faison, did you want to add something?
She said it's everything I want to say.
Okay.
I wanted to add on to that, because we've been having this conversation amongst ourselves while as we've been traveling the country. And
we've been checking people.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's been interesting. I think it kind of boils down to the size of the budget determines if you become raceless or if it's a niche film. You know what I mean? Because when I did Bad Boys, it was all black and Latino cast. We only had one white person in our cast, Joey Pantaleone, and it was never brought up. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a non-issue. And they always say, well, black movies don't do well overseas. We made the bulk of our money overseas. Mm-hmm. We got to do the whole press rollout tour overseas that you see people doing. And it was never once brought up. And then I started thinking, did they ask Russell Crowe what it was like to be in a black movie? Because he was in one.
Yep.
You know, somebody asked me this morning, well, white people don't go to black movies. It's like, a lot of white people went to go see American Gangster, and that's a black movie. Mm-hmm. It's about a black man. Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe happened to have a supporting role in a black movie. Did anyone ask Russell Crowe what that felt like?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder why not.
Yeah, but I think it goes down to, I think it comes to budget. You know, you could look at Morris's film, with the Game Plan. Mm-hmm. A lot of people of color in that film. The Rock's a, you know, a man of color. Brian White, Morris Chestnut. Was that ever an issue, or was it just a kids movie about football? So I think it comes down to, if your budget's less than $10 million and you have, you know, a group of people of color, then it becomes that kind of movie. Mm-hmm. And it's, I was like, that's interesting. Look at Transformers, non-issue, very diverse cast.
But also, so, those are action movies. That's one of the other things we've noticed is that, and not to belabor the point, I'm just interested because I know that you, because you're a producer, you got the project, you able to get the project going. And I wanted to know what that's sort of like and how that works. But you see males, like, you know, like Will Smith in an action film, race is often not sort of discussed. But then when it becomes a family film, an ensemble, where they're dealing with family dynamics.
Well, even Pursuit of Happiness. It wasn't thought of as a black movie. There's basically three people in that movie, him, Tandy, and a black child. Never once did it even come up.
But that film takes place mostly at work.
With his child. Mm-hmm. It's a family drama. Mm-hmm. It's about this man's struggle.
Well, I guess the basic question is, do you feel...
I think some people become raceless mm-hmm. once you get to a certain level.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You
lose race.
That whole... No, really, it's like the whole... Like, the guy asked me, how did we like doing an African-American Christmas movie? I was like, I ain't making movies with continents involved.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that is definitely
who's
not
making
what
a Christmas movie? What are you talking about? It's like, you go see Superman, it's like, I'm going to say, I went to go see a white Superman movie. A white American Superman movie. Which is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
But you know what I also think? I also think that there's that obviously in America we're in serious denial about racism and about how we look at race. And I think the fact that we don't confront it, deal with it, recognize it for what it is. When I read a script and it says Jane, 30, and then Elaine, 35, African American, what am I supposed to assume? Jane was white? You know what I mean? It's like,
what was
from
Jane?
The page.
Shaquita.
Yeah. Instantly from the page. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's Jane understood. Is an unclear. She is a non-color. She is not even human. She's just Jane, and she's 30. But I'm supposed to assume that she's white. That is instantly racism from the page. Yeah. Why can't Jane, white, whatever, this one, African-American, whatever. I mean, it's like, but as soon as you differentiate, then we already... making it clear who's what color and us making all of those assumptions about those people. And I think that's because we really don't deal with our feelings about race or about racism or about different cultures and colors and creeds in this country. And we have a serious history of it. And I think as long as, and look at them, all of the hate crimes that are up now. I mean, I think we really have to deal with the fact that we do have some issues when it comes to race. And the longer we ignore it, the more we perpetuate it and used against us. It's very easy to use race against you, you know, or classism. I mean, it's really all to keep you in one kind of particular place. The haves are always going to, you know, play that card on other people and mess with people's heads because it keeps us all in the place that we're supposed to be. And I think that we are smarter than that. We really need to become a lot wiser as Americans and really start, you know, squelching that whole thing. But...
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the cast of the new film, The Perfect Holiday, starring Queen Latifah, Morris Chestnut, Gabrielle Union, and Faison Love. They were all here with me in NPR Studio 4A, along with a live audience who came prepared with some questions. Chantel had the first question.
I'm Chantel Harley. My question is, in Hollywood, are there stories that are not being told on screen?
Wow. You know, the thing about Hollywood is that, you know, a lot of times, you know, people... they don't reinvent the wheel. You know, there's very few true original stories. You know, there's just old stories rehashed, you know, packaged in a different way. And basically, a lot of the best stories are, you know, they come from real life experiences. So in terms of stories not being told, I mean, there's always a story there. It's just the story that, you know, people choose to project on film.
I think there are some stories that are not being told because they're unorthodox and they're unusual in terms of kind of mainstream things. So if you hear about some kid who, you know, became some scientist, it might not be as juicy, typically
common,
juicy as what you know, but there are some really interesting stories out there. They might come in a package that maybe some studios don't know how to sell to the people.
Market it.
Yeah, they just don't know how to get it out there.
American Gangster is basically Superfly remixed.
Victor, Victor Holliday, you had a question.
Welcome to all. Thank you for being here. And my question was, what is the perfect holiday for each of you? If you could paint that picture for us in a few words.
Well, for me, it's number one is no work. Two, just me with my family and friends chilling somewhere, singing Christmas carols, drinking eggnog with a little spike to it, and just enjoying each other's company and not having to work once again.
All right.
Wow, that's mine exactly. I just really enjoy spending holidays with my family. You know, you see people you haven't seen in months, sometimes years, and you know, you guys cook all these good meals and watch football all day.
Mm-hmm. Gabrielle.
And not that I don't like my family, but this year I got my Christmas shopping done before we left and made sure everyone's, you know, happy and all that. But this year, me, Essence Atkins, Sanaa Lathan, Nia Long, Regina Hall are all going to Africa for 2 weeks as a part of a travel show called The Homecoming. So hopefully that will be the new perfect Christmas. Perfect holiday.
That's cool. Memory. That's cool, Gabs. You know, I see how you get down. I was going to go to Africa, too, but it was getting expensive. But I could have, you know, I could have rolled with the show, but nah, you know, taking your friends with you.
Well, no, she heard about that trip to Greece you had last year.
Dang.
Where
someone went to Greece.
Well, you know, see where Egypt had sent all of the information. That's all I was saying. Some nice obelisks.
Because we heard about that trip. You told us about that trip. So we'll just move on.
Sorry, you didn't have to tell on me, Michelle.
I know.
Cool,
I'm sorry. We have it on tape. Faison, what's your perfect holiday?
I'm opposite from La. I want to be working. I want to be driving my Ferrari to the set. And I'll see them later.
I know that's right.
Here's a good follow-up from Scott. Scott Stroud. Speaking of which.
A lot of people have company holiday parties coming up. What would you recommend they not do at the company holiday party?
Don't invite FaZe, though.
You know, last year we sort of followed Danny DeVito. And we introduced limoncello to our family.
Limoncello.
Leave it alone. It's like truth serum. Mm-hmm. So whatever you've been holding back all year will come out. You know, anybody who felt slighted, they'll talk about it. So I would say leave the limoncello at home.
Was there some in the back? Did Faison have a sip before he joined us?
I just wondered. All the time.
He's natural limoncello.
Keep a little limoncello with me.
Kimberly, you had a question. Kimberly Wells, you had a question.
My question is, what impact do you hope this movie will have beyond its entertainment value?
Well, I think for one, I'd love for hopefully it to connect with kids who still enjoy the magic of Christmas, with kids who might be going through some things and overcoming them, with kids who are just being good kids and seeing some good kids on screen who are working hard to be that. I think the sisterhood is important. Gabrielle's character is surrounded by two of her closest friends, and I love to see at times when we go through struggles that our friends are there to support us. I hope that this will become one of those films that is, it becomes a staple, something that you like to see every year. So next year when it's in the video store and the Christmas is coming, that people go grab the DVD because they related to it and they enjoy it and they like to watch it for years to come. And that's, the to me, one of the greatest things about Christmas movies is that when you like them, you can always watch that same movie every year. It becomes part of your childhood, you know, like those claymation movies, right. Abominable Snowman and Charlie Brown and all of the you know, A Christmas Story. You're going to shoot your eye out. You know what I mean? It's like every year you want to see those movies. So hopefully it'll become one of those classics.
Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Go see the movie.
That was the cast of The Perfect Holiday. Queen Latifah, Gabrielle Union, Morris Chestnut, and Faison Love. To see video clips of my conversation, check out our website at npr.org/tellmemore. There, you'll also find our blog, where you can post comments about this and any other conversations you've heard on the show.